Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. For 29 years, today's special guest, author of Focus, Drop the Law of Attraction, Slay Your Goals, counselor and life coach, David Essel, has been one of the leaders in the world of personal growth, but he has reached a saturation point in regard to accepting the ridiculous programs that are being promoted today that basically tell us we can sit and do nothing to become incredibly successful in life, finances, our health, and more. David Essel's work is highly endorsed by individuals like the late Wayne Dyer and celebrity Jenny McCarthy, who says David Essel is the new leader of the positive thinking movement. He is the author of 10 books, four of which have become number one bestsellers. David's work as a counselor and life coach has been verified by organizations like Psychology Today and Marriage.com. They have verified David as one of the top relationship counselors and experts in the world. And we have him with us today, and we're going to get started. We have a lot to talk about. So let me bring him on. Okay. Come on. Good morning, David. Welcome.
Randy. Oh, my gosh. Are we going to have fun today?
Oh, my gosh. We are. I always have fun, and I think you do, too. So, you say in your book that the popularity of the law of attraction went through the roof around 2007, and it's still talked about today is one of the most important keys to long-term success. But then you say the teachings of the current law of attraction promoted by so many famous teachers can become more poisonous and hurtful to your success than helpful. And I wanted to start it off that way because this is really the crux of what you do, right?
Yeah, Randy, from 1980 until 1996, I taught the law of attraction around the world. I was traveling about 40 weeks a year, as a motivational speaker, and it was always about whatever you believe you can achieve. And I'd be in front of groups as large as 5,000 people telling them that all you need to do is put the right thoughts out into the world and they must come back to you as the way that you have imprinted this universe. And I had a blast. The only problem was, is that it doesn't work. You know, so from 1980 to 1996, I'm following my gurus. I am a parrot, P-A-R-R-O-T, which is how a lot of us start out in all professions. You know, we follow the people ahead of us, but the only problem is if you're following the people ahead of you and they're teaching things that aren't accurate, well, then you're going to naturally teach things that aren't accurate. And then in 1996, Randy, I had, you know, I've had multiple wake-up calls regarding this law of attraction and the secret nonsense, but there was an interview I did in 1996 with the founder of Transcendental. Excuse me, I've been speaking a lot. I'm losing my voice.
That's okay. I get it.
The founder of Transcendental Meditation. His name was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Now, he selected our radio show. I was hosting a show with Westwood One at the time as the only media outlet to promote the 40th anniversary of Transcendental Meditation. And for those that aren't familiar, it is by far the most highly studied form of meditation ever developed. Our own government has put millions of dollars into studying TM, or Transcendental Meditation, for such things like high blood pressure and more, and the studies have always come out really positive. So I'm on the air, and we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Maharishi's work with Transcendental Meditation. And we go to a break, Randy, and he says, wow, David, you really love the concept of positive thinking and affirmations. And I said, yes. And he said, tell me your favorite affirmation. And Randy, there was an affirmation I had said for 20 years every morning. And I said, oh my God, Maharishi, I'd love to. And here it is. I am David Essel, a child of God, happy, healthy, and sober today. And he looked at me and he said, that's beautiful. I said, thank you. He goes, is it your reality? And Randy, I hesitated for a second, and then it was because it was someone who I looked up to so greatly, I lied. And I said, yes, that's my reality. You know, because I didn't want to disappoint Maharishi and tell him the truth. So he said, well, good. He goes, just remember this. Whenever you're stating, making statements out to the world, your affirmations, your intentions, if they're accurate and real and true, keep saying them. But if they're not accurate or true, then you've got to find a different way. A number of weeks later, I'm in Orlando speaking at a large conference, and I get off stage, and I'm answering questions of people in line, and at the very end, this tiny little woman. And I get to her, and I said, how can I help you? And she said, hey, listen, I just flew in from Iowa. I have 20 minutes to interview you now, and I've got to jump on a plane and go back. And I said, what magazine are you with? And she said, I'm with Maharishi. I said, you're kidding me. She said, no, he asked me to fly down and to interview you. So we go, we sit down, we get coffee, we had 20 minutes. And I said, well, shoot, like, what do you want to know? And she said, I only have one question. I said, you flew all the way from Iowa to Orlando to ask me one question? She said, yeah, it's important to Maharishi. I said, okay, what is it? She said, what do you remember from the interview? Now, Randy, this is where it gets really weird. The week before, let's say I had Wayne Dyer on, who I interviewed a ton of times. I could say to you 10 years later, here's the four keys that Wayne Dyer talked about, or Deepak, or Susie Orman, or anyone else. And I looked at her and said, here's the weirdest thing. I can't remember anything from the Maharishi. It's almost like I was in a fog. I don't know what was going on. And she said, well, just try to think of one thing. I said, okay, his joy. He laughed. And, Randy, this is the truth. And when I interviewed him, I'd ask him, like, what's the purpose of life? And he was this tiny little Indian guy, long gray hair down to his butt. And he would look at me, and he would start laughing. I mean, before every answer he gave, he was just filled with this joy that was unstoppable. And she looked at me, and she said, David Essel, I have to be honest with you. I'm going to share something that you may not understand or want to hear today. But sometime in the future, it'll make sense. She said, the reason that you remember Maharishi's joy is because you don't have any. And Randy, I looked at her and I said, what are you talking about? I live on the beach. I host this show. I write books, blah, blah, blah. And she said, I know it's going to be hard to grasp. She said, but I've known with Maharishi 36 of his 40 years. And when he talks to a group of us, we all walk away, and when we talk amongst us and say, what did you get out of today's thing, or what was Maharishi's topic, she said it was always different, even if there were just four of us. Like, we all talked about something totally different. And then we learned that he has this gift of asking these amazing questions, and then he has the gift of helping you to see that what is missing in your life and what you don't have is the real answer of where we need to put our work. So I kind of blew her off, Randy, honestly. I just said, okay, whatever. You know, yeah, I guess it was great. Tell Maharishi I love him. He was great. I'm not quite sure about you. And so we ended the interview. 2 weeks later, on a Tuesday, 1996, at 2:30 in the afternoon, I woke up from a four-day binge. I was a raging alcoholic and cocaine addict, doing the work I'm doing right now. And at 2:30 that afternoon, I looked in the mirror, and for the first time, I was honest with myself, and I said, David Essel, you have no joy. You can't have an addiction to food, nicotine, alcohol, drugs, sex, spending, being right. And if you have an addiction to anything, and most of us do, but we're in immense denial, you can't be filled with joy. The addiction takes away a large portion of the joy. So then, Randy, I went deeper and said, oh, my God, I've been saying an affirmation for 16 years that's a lie. And what we were taught, and this is one of the things that, you know, people's, the law of attraction teachers and all these people still teach today, is that they are telling us to say affirmations and intentions, or teaching us how to do affirmations and intentions that are absolute, complete lies. So if you're listening to the show right now and you go, what the hell is David talking about? So let's say you read a book and it says, if you want to be wealthy, have an affirmation of I am a millionaire. Or I earn $1 million a year. And that's very common. And on your vision board, put $1 million bill. Put the significations of that you earn $1 million a year.
I've done
so
it.
So now we have these people. You got it?
Okay, got it. Yep. I've done it. Okay.
Yeah, you've done
okay,
it. Oh,
keep
I
going.
Did too.
Okay, keep going.
Right? Like, yeah, we get sucked into the vortex of what's called mass consciousness, which I'll explain in a second. So we do these vision boards, and, you know, we're a size 18, and we put a size 2 body on them, and we're single, and we put people walking down the beach with wedding rings on, and all this, and I'm going to call it absolute crap. And the reason I say it is because when you're saying you earn $1 million a year and you're earning $50,000, there's nothing wrong with earning $50,000 at all. But when you're saying that you earn $1 million, you are lying to yourself, which means that you have no integrity. And so here we've been taught, Randy, and now, you know, since 1996, and I did slip back one time. It's from 1996 till today, and I spent 2 or 3 months back in the world of this insanity. But, you know, I started realizing all these affirmations I was saying, I was lying to myself. And so what happened? So let me tell you why this is so demoralizing to accomplishing goals. So you get up every day and you say, I am earning $1 million in 2019, or whatever it is that you don't have, which means you're lying to yourself. Over a short period of time, you will start to pull back on the efforts you're putting in the world to get sober, to lose weight, to make money, because you've been saying to yourself that you're this amazing individual at this size 2, or you're an amazing individual earning $1 million a year. But it's not true, and it ain't coming true through your thoughts. So eventually, whatever action steps most people are taking, when they've been saying an affirmation that's a lie long enough, they start to pull back on the energy they're putting out action-wise. Does that make sense, Randy?
It does, sure. Mm-hmm. It does.
You know, so and it's not anything you'll notice. You know, it's not like you wake up one day and go, oh, geez, for the last 7 days, I haven't been doing anything to increase my income or decrease my expenses. It's not something you're going to notice. It's this insidious, slow drain on your motivation. Mm-hmm. And so if people want – and let me make this statement true just to, like, really get super clear. When you say you earn $1 million a month, and no one ever – teaches you how to do this, and I'm going to, just to teach you how ridiculous these affirmations are. $1 million a year is $82,000 a month. Now, if you can look in the mirror and you can say to yourself, I have the gifts, I have the skill, I have the discipline, I have the determination to earn $82,000 a month, good for you, but guess what? Most of us don't have the skills, don't have the talent, and don't have more than anything the discipline, drive, and determination to earn $82,000 a month. So not only are you lying, saying that you earn it right now, but you're also lying about your future self, because only about 1.5% of the U.S. population earns $1 million a year. So, you know, we've been taught to have these grandiose plans and these grandiose affirmations and vision boards, but the whole time we're losing the game. Now, if there's someone out there that, you know, according to The Secret, it says that if you imagine a red Maserati in your driveway at 8 o'clock at night, it must be there tomorrow morning. So if you're one of the people that follows those teachings and you say, David, I imagined a red Maserati last night at 8 and at 9 a.m. it appeared, I will say, good for you. That's called a miracle. But the law of attraction is not a law at all, because a law should be able to be duplicated without any interference or any reduction in the amount that someone is using this affirmation. And what all that means is that a real law of attraction would say that everyone in the world should have the same access, that if you say an affirmation that you're earning $1 million a year, then everyone should be earning $1 million. And if the law of attraction was valid, Randy, you and I wouldn't have this conversation. Because no one would need you. No one would need me. I would stop writing books in a heartbeat, because all people would have to do is sit and think and their lives would radically change. So,
yeah. You know,
it's craziness. It's
interesting because, I mean, I've had so many different – I've been doing this show for 8 years and I've done over 500 shows. And I had someone on who actually had a near-death experience. And while she was with Spirit, she downloaded an immense amount of information. But this was one of the things that she said, that it's basically all – it's untrue. You know, and so I thought that was really, really interesting, and now you're confirming that. And I just have to say, I am trained in transcendental meditation. I was trained many years ago. I did it religiously for a couple years. Now I do a variety of meditations, but I know how to do it. So I'm really familiar with that. It's very, very good. What you were saying in your book is that, you know, it's much more accurate when you're talking about attracting negativity and negative thoughts than positive thoughts and results. So, you know, and I think we all realize that, sort of, without acknowledging it. But why do you think that happens?
Well, I can tell you exactly why. The brain's natural fallout method or fallback method is negativity. And the reason for that is that there's a portion of the brain called the amygdala. The amygdala is the fight, flight, or freeze director in the brain. The amygdala is the oldest part of the brain. So when we look at from a historical perspective, when, let's say, our neighbors, the cavemen, were around, everything was based on fear. You know, they lived on adrenaline, basically. It's probably one of the reasons why they had such short lives. Everything was a threat. You know, the caveman next door was a threat to your cavewoman. A rustling in the bush was never to be taken lightly. It could be a saber-toothed tiger. There's a shadow on your cave wall where you just had started a fire and you don't recognize it. See, we were based on to be awake, to be aware, to be filled with adrenaline. Our ancestors were. So the negative fallout mechanism of negativity is just a natural part of the functioning of the brain. And, you know, what we say in the book is that if I say to one of my clients, hey, I'll talk to you in 7 days, you know, keep track of all of your positive thoughts or keep track of all of your limiting thoughts, I don't have people coming back, Randy, with 1,000 pages of positive thoughts and one or two negatives. I have people coming back with intense amount of self-judgment, judgment of others, anxiety about the future, frustration about the past. When we really go in and we'll take a look at what the mind is doing when it's unoccupied, unless you're doing some really intense physical action steps that are positive in nature, your mind is going to, when it has a free second, it's going to go to doubt, insecurity, anger, rage, resentment, boredom. It just has that natural fallout. And the only way to avoid it is to say, okay, I have a goal to lose weight or make money or get sober. I need to set up my day today where I'm putting an hour or 2 hours into this major goal. And those action steps, even if they're frustrating, Randy, even if you don't like doing them, even if they're hard, when you're doing action on a daily basis towards that major goal, your mind will stay more in alignment to what you're going after than if you just use, you know, your positive affirmations, vision boards, and wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing I want to mention, and this is crucial too, when I talk about the law of attraction is not a law because it can't be duplicated. We don't have millions of people, you know, calling me up and canceling sessions because of the fact that they've just, you know, imagined $1 million and they got it. But here's the other thing. In 27 years as a syndicated host, interviewing the biggest superstars in the world, I'm, you know, from music to actresses and actors to personal growth experts, not one of them ever said to me that they accomplished all of their amazing achievements via their mind. Randy, not one person. And I jokingly say in the book, you know, a buddy of mine, Rich Gaspari, who's won a ton of bodybuilding competitions, if you said to Rich, hey, I want you to use affirmations and vision boards before your next bodybuilding competition, he would laugh you out of the gym. And if you said to a doctor, you know, hey, use affirmations and vision boards to get your medical degree instead of putting in 16 years. You know, it's like we've taken this ridiculous teaching and we've blown it so out of proportion. It's never worked. It never will work. But there's a reason why everyone wants it to be true. In 1996, when we my work as a counselor, we created the definition for human nature. And this explains why everyone loves The Secret and the Law of Attraction, even though it's all bogus. The definition of the human nature is our desire to get the most out of life with minimal effort. And underneath your conscious mind, this message is running 24/7. Until you do enough work and you have enough discipline and determination, you can eradicate it. But most of us don't eradicate it. So that's why, you know, like The Secret comes out and it says, do nothing to achieve millions of dollars. Oh, my God, who doesn't want to hear that? or, I write in the book, it's kind of interesting. Now, I look at this as synchronicity versus the law of attraction. But I'm finishing up one of our books, Focus. And the same thing happened when our other number one best-selling book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life. But, Randy, I'm finishing these two books. I'm getting ready to send everything, the final draft, to the editor who then takes it from there. And on the day that I'm about to send this draft to the editors, I get these emails and posts on social media that say, do you want to earn $100,000 in 3 days with no effort? Join my webinar on the power of the law of attraction. I'm reading this going, are you absolutely kidding me? You know, like, you talk to people that earn $100,000 in a year, and you say, would you like to earn that in 3 days without doing any work? Well, of course, but it doesn't work, you know? So we have to just be realistic, you know, and we have to look at it, but no one wants to be realistic. I understand that. When we came out, I think it's 4 years ago now, with the Bible of our work, which is called Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, my editors and my staff all said to me, you know, David, this is either going to blow up your career in a great way or you're going to be working at a convenience store or sweeping streets or something. Because, you know, when you have a title of a book, Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, but this book will, you know you're going to be branded, either good or bad. So, but here's a cute story about Jenny McCarthy. So my publicist, TJ Torriello, said to me, hey, Jenny McCarthy wants you on her show. You know, she's got, I don't know, 3 million listeners on SiriusXM. And he said, but the only problem is this. She loves The Secret and the Law of Attraction. So you're going to go on the show, but don't be surprised if she pushes back. And I said, don't worry. You know, I've done this for so long. I can handle it. So Jenny is a sweetheart, and, you know, we talked a few minutes before I was on the air with her, and you know, hugged each other, and she's just she's hilarious. Randy, she's smarter than hell. You know, everyone sort of chides her because she's so attractive, and, you know, unfortunately, women can get put into these stereotypical positions, but she is by far, and, you know, I was in radio for 27 years, she is by far one of the consummate radio hosts I've ever worked with, heard, or been interviewed by. She can go from her, you know, her Hollywood sleaze type moments, and then she'll flip right into heavy duty, serious conversation. So she says to me, she goes, okay, next up is David Essel. He's got a book. And she goes, gang, I'm not sure I'm buying it yet. As the book says, positive thinking will never change your life. And I love positive thinking. So here's the deal, David. She looks at me and smiles and says, I'm giving you 3 minutes to sell me. At the end of 3 minutes, we'll either keep talking about this topic or we're probably going to talk about something else. If you can't sell me, if you can't make me believe that what you're saying is true, I said, I'll take that chance. She said, go. So, Randy, I just rocked it. You know, I had 3 minutes. I rocked it. At the end of it, she was shaking her head, which I wasn't quite sure what that meant yet. And then she turned to her audience and she said, gang, I am so sorry. I have been teaching you things that aren't valid. David Essel is the new leader of the positive thinking movement.
Wow, that showed great humility on her part. Wow.
Really, yeah. And Randy, that's what I'm saying. She is an incredible human being.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I was back on her show 5 times, and she never has returned guests. So that, I mean, that just says that, you know, we are on to something valid. There's, you know, there's no scheme here. You know, there's no snake oil salesman, which is what I believe the law of attraction stuff is. I really believe it's snake oil. The only people making money from it are the people selling the books and the courses. And I think that that's a travesty, quite frankly, because we just as you and I are talking, Randy, you know, if it's a law, it's got to be duplicable. If it's not, if you can't duplicate it every time, then it's just fantasy.
Right. I mean, I'm having you on because I like what you said, and I like controversial issues because I don't want to do the same as everybody's doing and have my listeners think the way everybody's thinking. I want to challenge them to think differently, and so that's, you know, why I was attracted to having you on. I like that idea. I really do. I like that. I always want to learn. I always want to know more.
Yeah.
So your book is called Focus. So what does it mean to fully focus in life?
Let's look at goals. When a lot of us create goals for the year, you know, New Year's resolutions are probably the worst thing in the world to do, but a lot of people still do them. You rarely hear someone say with a New Year's resolution that, you know, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this week, and I'm going to do it, or this year, and I'm going to do it by doing ABCDE 6 days a week with my exercise and ABCDE 7 days a week with my diet. And, you know, this is my New Year's resolution. What we hear oftentimes people saying is, all right, this year I'm going to lose that weight that I've been saying I'm going to lose. I'm going to increase my income by 50%. I'm going to quit drinking, and I'm going to find a great partner. So when you try to multitask huge goals, you're going to fail. We all will fail. But if you focus and get super focused on going after that one massive goal, and in the book we talk about a theory that we created in 1996 as well called the One Thing Theory, that we say the only goal that we recommend, and this is going totally against almost 99% of people that do my work, the only goal we believe you should be going after is the one that you're scared as hell of, the one you've procrastinated on the longest, the one you don't want to do. Because when you go after that one, Randy, it's like when I went after my addiction to alcohol. Then I had to go after my addiction to cocaine. And then I had to go after my addiction to codependency and love relationships. But when I focused on going after those goals, I never wanted to get sober. You know, I never wanted to. You know, and I didn't get a DUI, and I didn't get in trouble, and I didn't get arrested. You know, it was a choice I made. But even after I made that choice, I didn't want to. I just knew I had to, and I said, you know, I looked in the mirror and said, David, quit being such a pussy. Get your butt into a treatment center. You've known for 25, 30 years you've had a problem, and that's really what it came down to. So when we focus on our decreasing our expenses. Like, if you want the number one key to financial freedom, it's starting with expenses. That is the most important step. But who wants to? That doesn't sound fun, Randy, does it? You know, like, so if someone comes into most individuals that do the work I do and says, hey, you know, I want to really rock my finances, most people would go, well, let's start with increasing your income, which is the worst move in the world to make because it's not your income at first. If you were to keep your expenses as they are today, and let's say that your expenses equal your income, as it does in most Americans, so at the end of the month, that means you have no money, is basically what that says. If you focus on your expenses and get your expenses down right now and learn how to live in a really strong, perfect little budget for your money and your needs, when you make more money, you won't be frivolous with it because you'll already be in that disciplined mindset for financial freedom. But if you don't take care of your expenses and the beliefs around expenses, and you just go after doubling or tripling your income, there's a 99% chance that at the end of that next year, even if you double your income, you're still going to be in financial turmoil because you've never learned how to balance the expense-income ratio. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, when you're saying that, I'm thinking about, you know, a lot of so many of the wealthy people that I know and how frugal they are. And, you know, I think it's because in the old, you know, they come from a different mindset from many, many years ago when you had to be that way.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? And it hasn't changed, honestly, Randy. We still should be that way. But people, so that's what we're talking about when we say focus. It's like, okay, you have a major goal. Let's choose the one you'd rather not. And the reason we say that is that when you go after that goal, Randy, that you'd rather not go after, the one that's been bugging you for years, you know, you've been wanting to quit smoking or drinking, you've been wanting to lose those 30 or 300 pounds, you've been wanting to get out of this crappy relationship. When you focus on that one area and put all of your effort 5 to 6 days a week that you have, and that might be an hour a day or 2 hours a day, you then will start to see other areas of your life automatically improve as well when you go after that one area that's the biggest bugaboo, the one you don't want to handle. So that's what it means to be really focused in this existence.
Okay. Wow. And in your book, you give a lot of direction on how to do this. You touched on the codependency love addiction thing, and I really had to comment on that because that's a lot of the work that I do in counseling. I counsel people who have suffered abuse from narcissistic personality disorder people, and codependency goes hand in hand with that. But I wanted to say, I always say codependency is the curable addiction, and I don't find many other people who agree with me. They all say, oh, well, once you have codependency, you manage it, but you never get rid of it. And I really liked when I read in your book that you got rid of your codependency. And I did, too, because I was seriously codependent. But I'm not anymore. So I really believe that it is a curable addiction.
And, Randy, I'll take it a step further, and I'm going to say this. Every addiction is curable. There isn't one addiction in the world that isn't curable. Unfortunately for most of my, or a big part of my life, you know, I was just a raging addict in so many different ways. And every one of those areas that I was labeled an addict, an alcoholic, a codependent addict, they've all been shattered. So, and the thing, how do you know they're shattered? Well, first of all, when you go through major, let's say that you smoke right now and you want to know how you know when you quit and you're totally healed, or you drink or you do drugs, how do you know? And the answer is really simple. The answer is when you can go through, after the first 365 days of being clean from your addiction, codependent addiction, relationships, alcohol, nicotine, food, whatever your addiction is, when you go 365 days without using, we say then you're in recovery. This is the model that we have created. So you go 365 and we say you're in recovery, okay? When you hit a stressful experience, quote unquote, in recovery after that 365 days of not participating in your addiction, when you hit stress and you don't lean back on your addiction or you don't cross addict, you are fully freaking healed. So what we have to do is say, okay, you know, and there are some people, unfortunately, and, you know, I'm not a fan of 12 steps at all. They have a 10% success rate. They have a 90% failure rate. And I say to people, if you love 12 step and it's keeping you clean, and here's the next part, and you're really happy in life, keep going. But, you know, in the rooms, there are people that brag about being clean for 20, 30, 40 years that are angrier than hell, or who have cross-addicted to sugar or caffeine, or are cross-addicted to something else. You know, I mean, there are people that I have met in the last 30 days that were bragging about their 28 years of sobriety from alcohol, and they're diabetic now because they've taken in so much sugar over the years and their cross-addiction. They're vaping nicotine. And for people that don't understand, nicotine is the most powerful anti-anxiety drug you can get over the counter. It is amazingly addictive. So, you know, when these 12-steppers say, you know, how successful they are, well, first of all, Google it, and you'll find that they have a 90% failure rate. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't parts of 12-step programs that could be beneficial. In our addiction recovery programs, I say to people, hey, I would like you to go to a meeting, and I'm going to teach you how to participate. And the one thing you're not going to ever say is that you're an addict or an alcoholic if you have not used. Because what 12-step teaches is everyone sits down in this friendly kumbaya circle, and you raise your hand and you say, hi, I'm David, I'm an alcoholic. Well, that's great if you drank the night before, Randy. That's awesome, because now you're just being honest. But if you haven't drank in weeks or months or years, and you're raising your hand and saying, I'm David, I'm an alcoholic, the subconscious mind is picking those vibes up. And I can tell you, it's not good for your self-esteem or confidence at all. And I believe it's one of the reasons they have such a high failure rate. I mean, you're getting people who are clean, let's say they're not using anything, and they keep repeating they're an addict or an alcoholic. Where is the logic in that?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, I've been to the meetings as a family member of someone. So I've been to the Nar-Anon meetings. So I know, you know, I'm really familiar with this stuff. And what you were saying about, you know, substituting, I actually I had to participate in a family program with someone who was in rehab. And no one was using, but they were all smoking. That place was like a chimney. Oh, my God, yeah. You couldn't breathe in there. And I'm like, you substituted cigarettes. You know, how is it helping?
Yeah, and you know, and Bill W., the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, died of lung cancer. He quit drinking, but the way the story goes is that he increased his smoking. And that's just a cross addiction. See, that's what I'm saying.
It is.
And here's the other, you know, and here's the other thing about 12 step that people have to understand why I am not a fan. 12 step programs, the theory, the philosophies were created 80 years ago. Randy, they have never been updated once. So let's say that you're a car dealer, and I say to a car dealer, hey, we're going to take out all of your computers and we're going to put in file cabinets and rotary phones, because 80 years ago, that house, you can guess how successful that car dealer would be today, right?
Yep.
They would be lost. They'd be totally lost. So here in the world of psychology, we know, like the thing I talked about, you know, don't ever say I'm David, I'm an alcoholic, if you're not using, because we know the power of the conscious versus the subconscious mind much better than we did 80 years ago. There are amino acid supplements, Randy, that we get all of the people in our programs on. It doesn't matter if the addiction is codependency or if it's nicotine, alcohol, food. There are amino acid supplements out there that will help brain chemistry return to normal quicker. But you're not going to hear that in 12-step. It's crucial in addiction recovery that people keep their blood sugar levels normalized by eating every 3 to 3.5 hours a certain combination of food. When you do that and your blood sugar levels stay normalized, you will not hit cravings. You will not hit irritability at 2:30 in the afternoon. You won't go for the sugar or the nicotine. 12-step programs don't teach that because they don't know it. So that's what I'm saying. You know, now, the greatest benefit, Randy, to me, and this is what I tell all of my clients, the greatest benefit of even going to one meeting or going once a week is when you walk in the room, you are showing incredible humility and vulnerability. And those two traits are crucial for long-term recovery. We have to be vulnerable. We have to be honest. And we have to take those risks that make us uncomfortable. So I think one of the greatest benefits of going to 12-step is just walking in the room, sitting there, and when they come to you and you say your name, you just say, "Hi, I'm David, and I'm really glad to be here today." End of statement. You don't mention anything about addiction, and you know, you just say, "I'm really happy to be here today." Period.
Right.
So we teach people, you know, how in 2019, 2020, we teach people how to take advantage of the small amount of 12-step that we think are beneficial, but then we give them tools outside of it to really help their recovery be strong.
Great, great. And we're coming down to the last couple of minutes, and then we're going to get cut off. So I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about, you know, where you may be conducting your next workshop or you know, where you'll be speaking. I'll just, you know, what are you up to lately?
Yeah. Randy, if all of our
real quick, we only have like 2 minutes.
Okay. If everyone goes to talkdavid.com, 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 they will find out. We have a mastermind group coming up on how to maximize your mindset that you can join from anywhere in the world. That's outrageously inexpensive. We have a daily boost video program that's free. When you sign up, you get a video from me every morning, an inspirational video. So, and then, of course, all of our books, and if people want to work one-on-one with me, we do from anywhere in the world via phone and Skype. Just go to talkdavid.com, talkdavid.com, and you will be happy you did.
Okay, and that's everything. That's your hub. That's where we can find out what you're up to.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's nowhere else we need to go. Yep. Randy,
okay.
That's a blast. I knew it would be.
Yeah, I know. It was a lot of fun. It really was. Yeah, I love everything that you say. I really enjoyed your book. You know, it sparked a lot of thought in me as to how I want to proceed with my goals. So,
awesome.
So thank you for that. And
yeah.
Wow, thank you for all you do. This is great. And congratulations on all your successes because you have risen above a lot. And that's not easy to do. I know, you know, I've risen above a lot, and I work with people, and I try to help them do the same. So, and they're generally my listeners. So you've given them great tools, and they can pick up this book, Focus, Slay Your Goals, and learn even more. So that's great.
Right.
Thank you so much. Have a great, great day. I appreciate you being on.
Oh, you're welcome, Randy. You too. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. Randy is R-A-N-D-I, randyfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.